If there were one word to describe the birth of Jesus Christ, the word might be unexpected. This evening, we're privileged to have many City Light kids worshiping with us. Kids, do you know what the word unexpected means? The word means, you do know, Silas, I thought you might, you're a smart guy. The word means something like surprising. Something when something's unexpected, it's not what you thought would happen. It's surprising. You know, for example, Pastor Mark told me that he was at a dinner party one time, and he picked up a little block of cheese, and he popped it into his mouth, bit into it, and to his unexpected surprise, it wasn't cheese. It was butter. Okay? Pretty gross. Pretty unexpected. And the birth of the Lord Jesus was a bit like that. It was unexpected. And my wife, Andrea, and I know a little bit about unexpected births. The birth of our first child, our son, Soren, went exactly as expected, but the birth of our daughter, Sage, was, well, unexpected. It was unexpected that the time between her very first contraction, my wife's very first contraction, and Sage's birth was less than 1 hour. It was unexpected that we'd be driving down Kelly Drive and she'd start shouting, "Matt, the baby is coming." You know, this had never happened before. And it was quite unexpected that Andrew was right. The baby was coming. And it was most unexpected that Andrea gave birth to our daughter Sage at a red light in the middle lane at Broad Street down in Center City. It was tremendously unexpected. And the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ was a little bit like Sage's birth. Nearly every element of it was unexpected. Notice first, it was unexpected that Caesar Augustus would issue a decree for tax registration that required Joseph, Jesus' adopted father, to travel from his home in Nazareth to his family's city of origin, the city of David, Bethlehem, the very place where the prophet Micah promised the Christ would be born, and Joseph had to go there unexpectedly. You see, in all the unexpected of Jesus' birth, we see the all-guiding hand of God. It was also unexpected that a woman would come along for the registration. Women weren't required in those days to go, but Mary went. It was certainly unexpected that there would be no room in the inn for the Savior, a detail that undoubtedly is meant to cause us to wonder, is there room in my heart for the Savior? It was unexpected, of course, that the one who from eternity past was clothed in divine majesty would be clothed in the humility of swaddling cloths, lying in a manger where animals feed. It was unexpected that the Son of God would become a man to enable men to become sons of God. It was unexpected that the radiant birth announcement of God the Son, the Savior, the Christ, the Lord, would come first to humble, ordinary shepherds keeping watch over their flocks by night. It was unexpected that the glory of God's presence, which often brought judgment upon sinners, instead brought good news of great joy that would be for all people who receive it. And it was unexpected that the sign that the shepherds had actually found the child was that he would be found not sitting on a throne, but lying in a manger. It was unexpected that the shepherds would leave their flocks, their very livelihood, behind in order to seek the child who is the Savior. But, of course, he is worthy of our most urgent attention and seeking. And every unexpected element surrounding the birth of the child reveals the most unexpected thing that happened that evening. God himself was born. What we call the incarnation. God himself born in the flesh. And that brings us to the big idea of our passage this evening. Christ the Savior is born. Christ the Savior, the long-promised one, is born. Now, undoubtedly, you've heard that before. I mean, it's Christmas after all. And I imagine since so many of us have heard that so many times before, rising up in our hearts just might be the question, so what? Christ the Savior is born. It's Christmas. So what? What should we do? Well, our passage provides the answer. Because you may have noticed that after the Savior's birth announcement, there's a multitude of angels singing. And their song reveals what we should do in response to the good news of great joy that Christ the Savior is born. Listen to their song. Luke 2:14 says, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased." Christ the Savior is born. What should we do? Two things. Glorify God. Receive his peace. Christ the Savior is born. Glorify God. Receive his peace. Let's begin with that first answer. Christ the Savior is born. What should we do? We should glorify God. Now, what does it mean to glorify God? Maybe think of it this way. You kids, listen up for just a moment. Have any of you kids ever both obeyed, we'll use your dad as an example, obeyed and enjoyed your dad all at the same time? Have you ever had one of those experiences? Like you're laughing and smiling, delighting in your dad's presence, but also feeling safe. And while you're laughing and delighting in him, you're also, though, attentive to his voice, obeying his commands. If you ever did act that way, and one of us saw it, do you know what we would think? We'd think, man, you must have a great dad. See, if you were enjoying his presence and also listening to his voice, you'd be showing off just how great and how good your dad is. You'd be glorifying him. And in the same way, we glorify God by showing off just how good and great he is, how trustworthy and wonderful, how delightful and all-satisfying. When we enjoy his presence and obey his voice, we're showing off for all to see how good, how great, how satisfying, how all-sufficient our God is. You see, Christ the Savior is born. Glorify God. But why should we glorify God? Well, the answer is actually found in Luke 2, 10 and 11. You can notice it in your Bibles there. It says, "And the angel said to them, 'Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord.'" Notice that it says, "Fear not." What are you afraid of? Like, what scares you most? You kids, what scares you most? See, we adults know that we do eventually usually outgrow spiders and snakes as our greatest fear, but we have deeper fears, more nagging fears. Our fears typically live in the future. We fear that our health, our career, our family, our marriage isn't going to turn out or go the direction that we had hoped. Our fears are typically in the future, but our future fears, they're all just whispers. They're just whispers of our greatest fear, our ultimate fear, the fear that no one can escape, the fear that's coming for everyone, the fear of death. You see, the Bible says in the book of Romans that the wages, the consequences of sin, the consequences of disobeying and ignoring God in this world that he has made is that we all die, not just physically, but eternally separated from the comforting presence of God. And that's why Christmas is such good news. Christmas is good news of great joy, that unto us is born the one who can solve our greatest problem. Christ the Savior, who's come to save us from our sins so that he can quiet our greatest fear, our fear of death and judgment. You see, if you confess that Christ is your Savior and believe in your heart that he's your risen Lord, then you can be forgiven of all your sins, adopted as God's child, and promised eternal life. And God has done it all. You know, we contribute nothing to being saved except the sin that we need to be saved from. Christ has done it all. God so loved the world that God gave his son that whoever believes in him will not perish but have eternal life. We don't deserve it. We can't pay him back. So what do? We glorify him. We enjoy his presence. We sing his praises with his people. We listen to him through his word. We talk to him through prayer. We live all of life to just show off that if he would give his son for us to save us from our sins, well, we can trust him and enjoy him. So we enjoy his presence. We sing his praises. We obey his voice because that's what it means to glorify him. We don't deserve it. We can't pay him back. So we glorify God with our lives. Christ the Savior is born. Glorify God. But notice that's not all that the angels sing. Secondly, they sing, receive his peace. Glorify God. Receive his peace. Notice the song, Luke 2:14. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased. Peace. Is there any one of us who doesn't want more peace? Any one of us who goes, you know what, in 2024, I'd just like to be less at peace than I was in 2023? No, not one of us. We all want to experience more of that peace that we long for, that peace in our hearts that can't be overcome by bad circumstances or the shifting sands of life. We want peace. And our shared longing for peace is nothing new. In fact, a Roman philosopher from Jesus' day wrote these words. While the emperor may give peace from war on land and sea, he's unable to give peace from passion, grief, and envy. He cannot give peace of heart for which man yearns more than even for outward peace. He was on to something. We long for few things more than our longing for peace. And yet it's elusive. Some of us seek peace through discipline and relentless self-improvement. Others of us seek peace through therapy and introspection. Still others seek peace through pleasure, comfort, and experiences. But have you noticed that none of it actually calms and quiets our hearts? Why is peace so elusive in this world? Well, our passage reveals that peace is so elusive in this world because true peace is vertical. Because true peace is vertical. It's announced from heaven. Augustine of Hippo, some 1,500 years ago, helps us understand why peace is so fleeting in this world. He wrote to God in his Confessions, "You stir man to take pleasure in you, because you have made us for yourself, and our heart is restless until it rests in you." True peace is vertical because we were made for God to glorify and enjoy him forever. However, one of the consequences of sin is that it separates us from God. Sin separates us from the comforting presence of God. In fact, in the New Testament, in Ephesians chapter 2, it says, because of all of our sins, we're all naturally enemies of God. True peace, see, our hearts are restless until they rest in God. But far from resting in God, we are naturally enemies of God. But the good news of great joy, the light in the darkness at Christmas, is that Christ the Savior is born. And he was born to save us from our sins and make peace between us and God. Glory to God in the highest and peace among those with whom he is pleased. You see, for all who the Father draws to faith in his Son, The Bible says, therefore, since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. You see, if you've been drawn to believe in Jesus as your only hope in life and in death, then you've been reconciled to God himself. You have peace with God, and that's true peace. That's peace that no circumstance can shake. Nothing can separate you from the love of God in Jesus Christ our Lord. If you receive Jesus with the empty hands of faith, if you trust him as your only Savior and bow your knee to him as your only Lord, then you are reconciled to God. The one who was once your judge has become your eternal Father. And you have peace with him forever. And the sufferings of this present life, they're not even worth comparing with the glory that your Father will reveal to you one day. And no amount of suffering in this world will ever separate you from him. And you cannot out-sin his grace. Through Jesus, you have peace with God. And that's true peace. Peace no circumstance can shake. Peace no suffering can take away. And as you press more into this God who has made peace with you through Jesus, you'll experience more of that internal peace that you and I long for so much. When we receive from the God of peace, through his Son, the Prince of Peace, the peace that is first vertical, then we begin to experience more and more of the peace we long for internally. Receive his peace. So the birth of Jesus Christ, sort of like my daughter's birth, was truly unexpected. I mean, who would have thought that the holy creator God would make peace with rebels like us in this most unexpected way? By sending his son to live the life we've failed to live, to die an atoning death in our place and rise again to give us eternal life. It is so unexpected. But maybe the most unexpected part of tonight is that for the first time, you're actually feeling drawn to that Savior. You know, maybe you arrived tonight just expecting to receive the standard Christmas fare, and I mean, the songs are beautiful and everything, but you didn't expect to actually be interested in this Savior. You didn't expect to actually feel drawn to needing him to forgive your sin, to reconcile you to God, to give you peace now and forever. Maybe that's the most unexpected part of this evening. And if you are feeling that draw on your heart to trust the Savior, I want to invite you to do maybe the most unexpected thing this Christmas. And receive God's peace by trusting in Christ the Savior for the very first time. Let's all bow our heads and close our eyes together. I want to invite you to grab that Connect card that was on your chair when you came in. At the bottom of that Connect card is a sample prayer that can help give you language to repent and believe in Jesus, to receive God's peace by trusting in his Son as your only Savior and your only Lord. If it's the reflection of your heart to trust in the Savior for the first time, you can just pray this quietly with me as I pray it out loud. God, I see I am more flawed and sinful than I ever dared believe, but that I am even more loved and accepted through Christ than I ever dared hope. I turn from my old life of living for myself. I have never done anything to earn your approval, but I now rest in Jesus' life, death, and resurrection, and ask to be accepted into God's family for his sake. I want to follow Jesus now and forever. Amen. The Bible says that if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be forgiven of your sin, reconciled to God as your Father, and you have peace, the true peace that surpasses all understanding and transcends all circumstances. Let's pray together, and then we'll stand and sing to the Savior who's made peace between us and God. Jesus, we give you all thanks and praise because you have forgiven our sins. You lived a perfectly obedient life. You died in our place for our sins, and you rose again. Help us to believe the good news, and help us to rejoice with hearts full of perfect peace. And we ask this in your name. Amen.